coming through real spitters. With rap or guns, evil ones, you feel us. Make a hole for my niggas. Or force us to make holes in your fitting.
Why you little niggas barking from the outfield? Don't a thing get past me, I'm out here. Out where them guns bust, we numb to it. Something wrong with his head, shots and run to it. What's good, boy? Don't scare up on me, you freeze up. Your pants too tight for them guns that we tuck. Let me hip you to something, this I don't do often. But once I tell you, gotta kill you, nigga, here's your coffin. Get a good look, not really get a good look. You wanna play? I move your chest piece like a rook. Straight up and down, you nigga shook. Take a picture, show you how a real winner look. Riding around with my trophy. Ash pokey, a rap being low key. But who's hiding? I slide through a back block. G'd up with my motherfucking Mac cop.
Coming through real spitters. With rap or guns, evil ones, you feel us. Make a hole for my niggas. Or force us to make holes in your fitting.
Come on!
Canadian winter cold. Travel with a magazine like the centerfold. Being broke is childish, your bitch getting old. Seen that in the videos, a whip with something tinted. Stallions riding in it, stallions in the engine. Styling with a vengeance on them hating ass bitches. Keep me in your vision, hope, watch I do this. On the toilet right now, stay on some new shit. Miss exclusive, hide in acoustic. Drunk at the venue, but on point like a pincer. My sexual preference is whatever you into. I'm here with my pit bulls, you here with your shih tzus. I got issues, mentally challenged. But stay focused, try to avoid violence. You know where I be. You got a problem, come with clips like Pusha T. That means no malice.
Coming through real spitters. With rap or guns, evil ones, you feel us. Make a hole for my niggas. Or force us to make holes in your fitting.
This is Mom Deep, like 1,000 Mafia Dons. With a black mom back, think you better calm. All the way the fuck down, bend in the home. I did my crime, did my time, I'm gone. Off to the top like a rocket ship. And it's off with your top if you poppin' shit. I got billionaire friends, millionaire girls. You got the blocks on, I got the whole world. Rock shows in Chile, Italy, Bombay. Why you yap out, I can't come back round the way. I'm way illy, put around in your back. Respect how I move or get moved on out of respect. This is it, this is Mike Jack, monumental. I sat in the box and wrote raps with a pencil. While the calendar pages flew, I was plotting and scheming on what I'm gonna do.
Coming through real spitters. With rap or guns, evil ones, you feel us. Make a hole for my niggas. Or force us to make holes in your fitting.
It is late Saturday night, early Sunday morning, and you are listening to the best wrestling podcast on the planet Earth. You are listening to the Chronic Connection Wrestling Podcast, where I am your host, Mr. 420, and I am smoked out. What is good, everybody? As always, I'd like to thank everyone for listening to this podcast, joining me tonight, this early morning, I should say. And I want to thank everybody for participating on the group page and making this shit what it is today. I haven't been up here in a while, and there have been a lot of shit that is breaking, especially in the independent scene and over in Japan. So guess what? I'm going to start with that first. You WWE fans will have to wait until after the break. So let's get right into it. Combat Zone Wrestling is preparing for one of its largest wrestling events of the year that highlights the greatest talent in the world, Best of the Best 11, on Saturday, April 14th, in the Flyers Escape Zone, 601 Laurel Oak Road in Fort Meade, New Jersey, and airing live on iPay-Per-View at hybrident.tv. So far announced in first round action of the tournament, CZW World Junior Heavyweight Champion Sami Callihan versus Tournament of Death winner and former and longest reigning CZW World Heavyweight Champion Drake Younger versus the United Kingdom's Trent Seven versus the United Kingdom's MK McKinnon. Former CZW World Junior Heavyweight Champion Chuck Taylor versus Dragon Gate USA's Open the Freedom Gate Champion Johnny Gargano versus Samurai Del Sol. That should be a show stealer right there. Former CZW Wire TV Champion AR Fox versus Lince Dorado versus ACH. Wow, that's another potential show stealer. Alex Colon versus Willie Mack versus the soon-to-be-announced replacement for the injured Wuha Nation, who will be out for the next year due to injury. I forgot how he fucked himself up. In non-tournament action, CZW Wire TV champion Jake Chris defends against his brother-turned-bittle rival, Dave Chris. CZW owner DJ Hyde has promised Matt Tremont an ultra-violent encounter, a contract signing to settle the score between Nation of Intoxication member Danny Havoc and leader of the Gulak campaign for a better CZW, Drew Gulak. Visit czwrestling.com for more information. Did I say that? Let me say that again. Visit czwrestling.com for more information. Yeah, I had to double check it. I thought it was czwwrestling.com, but it's not. It's czwrestling.com. Here is the updated lineup for PWG's DDT4. Super Dragon is still out of action due to his recent heel injury, so he and Steen won't be in the tag tournament, and the championship won't be on the line either. Ooh. Here is the lineup so far. PWG Championship, Kevin Steen will issue an open challenge. DDT4 first round match, Sami Callihan and Roderick Strong versus El Generico and Willie Mack. DDT4 first round match, Future Shock, who's Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly, will take on The Destiny, who's Scorpio Sky and Joey Ryan. Another first round match, Rockness Monsters, Johnny Yuma and Johnny Goodtime versus the Fightin' Taylor Boys. The Young Bucks, Matt and Nick Jackson versus the Super Smash Brothers, Player Uno and Player Dos. The show will take place on April 21st at American Legion Post number 308 in Reseda, California. Looks good so far. The new tandem of El Generico and Willie Mack is an interesting one. In your Ring of Honor news, if you didn't know, Kevin Steen has laid down the gauntlet to Chikara Grand Champion Eddie Kingston. Steen wants him in his belt on April 28th at the Ring of Honor Chikara doubleheader. WrestleMania weekend was a real good weekend for wrestling. Not only did you have WrestleMania, but Friday, Saturday, and Sunday you had Dragon Gate USA shows in Florida on the respective days, and you had two Ring of Honor shows on Saturday and Sunday, if I'm not mistaken. We're going to go with the Ring of Honor first, since I'm doing the Ring of Honor news now. Ring of Honor showdown in the Sun, day one results. The Briscoe Brothers defeated Shane Hayes and Mikey Nichols. Adam Cole defeated Scrap Iron Adam Pearce. The All Night Express defeated the Young Bucks. For the ROH World Television Championship, Jay Lethal retained against Kyle O'Reilly. Charlie Haas and Shelton Benjamin defeated Caprice Coleman and Cedric Alexander. Mike Bennett defeated Lance Storm, and that is some bullshit. But I'm not even really going to get into it. I know why they did it, because they want to put Bennett way over, and Lance doesn't mind doing the job, but at the same time, you're going to fly Lance all the way from Canada? Really? But business is business. People have ways of, and their own reasonings of why they do things. Kevin Steen defeated El Generico in a last man standing due to Jimmy Jacobs turning heel on El Generico and aligning with Steen during the match. ROH World Heavyweight Championship, Davey Richards retained in a triple threat versus Eddie Edwards and Roderick Strong. Steen Generico was the match of the night. Ring of Honor showdown in the Sun, day 2 from April 1st, WrestleMania. Jimmy Jacobs defeated El Generico. Tommaso Ciampa defeated Cedric Alexander in a ROH vs. Chikara match. TJ Perkins defeated Fire Ant. Kyle O'Reilly defeated Adam Cole. In a street fight, the Young Bucks defeated the All Night Express. Actually, it was a Texas Tornado. All four of them were in the ring at the same time. But there were some rules that weren't prone to street fight rules. For the ROH World Tag Team Championships, the Briscoes defeated and retained the titles against Charlie Haas and Shelton Benjamin. Kevin Steen defeated Eddie Edwards. For the ROH World Television Championship, Roderick Strong is your new ROH World Television Championship, defeating Jay Lethal to become the new champion due to Tommaso Ciampa's interference, because he brought the belt outside. You know, if you didn't know, Tommaso Ciampa and the Embassy stole Jay Lethal's belt. They said position is 9/10 of the law. Cornette and Lethal said they will sue if they don't bring the belt back. Ciampa came out before Lethal's match, and he said, well, if you put the title on the line, and I'll give it back to you if you win. I'll be a man and give it back to you. But Tommaso Ciampa, obviously, helped Roderick Strong defeat Jay Lethal. Very good story between Tommaso Ciampa and Jay Lethal, even though I despise Tommaso Ciampa. And in the ROH World Heavyweight Championship, David Richards successfully retained his title against Michael Elgin. I think that was an awesome fucking match, the match of the night. I know people don't like false finish matches, but if done right, the way I see it, if done right, they are tremendous. And I think that one was tremendous. So there you have that. Once it comes out on DVD, I suggest y'all get it. If y'all know how to get it by nefarious methods, I suggest y'all watch it. Actually, here's the news on Uha Nation. Dragon Gate USA wrestler Uha Nation will be out for 6 to 9 months due to the knee injury he sustained at the Dragon Gate CZW Super Show. The CZW Facebook page stated that he would be out for nearly a year. Uha himself has yet to publicly disclose the amount of time he will be out, as far as I know. Now onto the Dragon Gate USA Open, the Ultimate Gate, which happened on March 31st. In your curtain jerker opening match, Rich Swann took on AR Fox, and AR Fox defeated Rich Swann via pinfall after the low main pain. That match was the curtain jerker, but that was the match of the fucking night. Believe me when I fucking tell you. Ricochet and Seema then come out with the tag belt. Seema apologized about not being able to wrestle, and then they vacated the titles. Johnny Gargano and Chuck Taylor come out. After quite a bit of talking, Masato Yoshino arrives and offers to be Ricochet's partner. The match for the vacant belts are set. The Scene, who Scott Reed and Caleb Conley took on Bobby Fish and Tommy Dreamer. Bobby Fish and Tommy Dreamer won that match when Conley tapped out to the fish hook. BB Hulk defeated Sami Callihan via pinfall after the first flash. Callihan, after that, called out Sabu in a post-match promo. Sabu came for a brawl, then Duff and John Davis emerged, flowing straight into the next match, which was a street fight as Sabu and John Davis took on Eric Cannon and Pinky Sanchez. Sabu and John Davis wins that match after hitting the 3 seconds around the world on Pinky Sanchez, leading to the pinfall. It's a really good finish. I like seeing John Davis, the way he throws people around. Callihan attacked Sabu again after the match, then he said a lot of nasty shit about him. Sabu stumbled away, and nice of John Davis to just ditch him. Masaki Mochizuki defeated Akira Tozawa after falling to the Sankakugeri. There was a lot of cool opening exchanges, which led to Mochi working Tozawa's leg, then the arm. A couple of Tozawa's suicide dives, you know, let him take control. And they were going to war, basically. It was a really, really, really good match. It was one of those started off slow and picked up towards the middle kind of matches. Despite being an icon in Japan, Mochi really hasn't had a great deal of high-profile victories in the United States, so this was a pretty big win for him. The crowd was mostly in favor of Tozawa in the beginning, but he really won them over by the end. Samurai Del Sol versus Johnny Vandal was next. Del Sol showed off some flashy moves in the opening minutes before Vandal got the upper hand. Del Sol survived his knee drop, then caught him with a reverse springboard hurricanrana to end the match. Short and sweet. Low-Ki took on Pac. That was next. Low-Ki got that with the pinfall after the Warrior's Way. It was a different match. It was intense with impressive wrestling all the way through. It wasn't really that much high-flying, and, you know, they didn't kick it to the next level like Mochi and Tozawa did. But I guess it's good they didn't, just to try to replicate the match. Still, although, another 5 or 10 minutes and this could have been a fucking classic. And in your main event, the Open United Gate Championship, Johnny Gargano and Chuck Taylor will take on Ricochet and Masato Yoshino. A whole lot of shit happened in that match for me to detail, but it's worth noting that Gargano had it won at one point, but Taylor pulled him off the cover because he wanted it for himself. Then Taylor tussles with Swan and picked up the Freedom Gate. The finish saw Ricochet hit a running moonsault on Gargano from the ring to the outside before Yoshino finishes Taylor with the Sol Naciente. Your winners and new champions, Ricochet and Masato Yoshino. Great motherfucking main event. A lot of crazy action here. I think Ricochet and Johnny Gargano and Chucky T was the star of the show. They put on top-notch performances. Chuck Taylor turned heel after the match, super-kicking Seema and Johnny Gargano. Yoshino gave the show a closing speech. Really good show with three great matches. Really, really, really good show. Again, if you could get it through nefarious methods, get that shit. I will be putting up that Ricochet and Masato Yoshino versus Gargano and Chuck Taylor match. Now here's the results from Dragon Gate USA's high pay-per-view Mercury Rising. Bobby Fish defeated John Davis. AR Fox defeated Eric Cannon by disqualification after Sami Callihan threw a chair at AR Fox. No rules, Sabu defeated Sami Callihan with lots of interference. El Generico defeated Lince Dorado, Seema, Rich Swann, Samurai Del Sol, and Chuck Taylor. By the way, I'm a huge Samurai Del Sol fan after seeing him on these Dragon Gate shows. He did his fucking thing. Scott Reed and Caleb Conley defeated Los Bendejos, CS, Cruz, and Rios. For the Open the Freedom Gate title, Johnny Gargano defeated Masato Yoshino. Post-match, Chuck Taylor attacked Johnny Gargano. Akira Tozawa, BB Hulk, and Loki defeated Pac, Ricochet, and Masaki Mochizuki in your main event. This was really a good show also. Dragon Gate USA has been putting on some shit. I'm a huge fan of it. And I think you should check it out too. Kudos to what you're doing, Gabe. Kudos. Continue to do what you're doing. When the DVD comes out, get it. If you could watch it through nefarious methods, do it. It's really, really... Those are some really fucking good shows. Chikara, they did a show March 26th. Here are your results. Cobalt defeated Sarah Del Rey. In a six-man squared circle wrestling showcase, Brent Banks, Hacker, and Alex Vega defeated Sebastian Suave, Josh Alexander, and Marcus Marquez. Brody Lee defeated Fire Ant. Dasher Hatfield defeated Archibald Peck. In an elimination tag team match, The Swarm versus the Bateri versus the Spectral Envoy versus Soldier and Green Ant, The Swarm won. Tim Dunst defeated El Generico. 17 and Shard defeated Mike Quackenbush and Jigsaw. And Jia Chikara Grand Champion Eddie Kingston defeated Ophidian. where am I at? For the Campeonato de Pajeras Championship, I hope I said that right. 3.0 defeated Chuck Taylor of Abyss to win the titles. Chikara, it's time to play the game results. They were in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada. On March 25th, Mike Bailey defeated Matthew St. Jacques. Mr. Touchdown defeated Jigsaw. Sarah Del Rey defeated Le'Veon Dutch. Ophidian defeated Dasher Hatfield. And in your trios match, Team Olay defeated the Bateri. 17 and the Shard defeated Hollow Wicked and Ultramantis Black. Chuck Taylor defeated Archibald Peck. And the Colony defeated the Swarm via DQ. The Chikara Grand Championship, Eddie Kingston retained against Brody Lee. Damn, that match could have been brutal. I want to see that. That shit has brutality written all over it. And then another Gabe Sapolsky production, if you will. Evolve 11 will be coming next week, April 13th, with an 8 p.m. bell time at the Doubletree by the Hilton at Toronto Airport, 655 Dixon Road, Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Tickets are on sale at Dragon Gate USA TV. The show will be broadcast on live online pay-per-view on WWNLive.com. The updated card is Loki versus El Generico, Finley versus Sami Callihan Part 2. Just announced Johnny Gargano versus AR Fox in another just announced match. Chuck Taylor versus Samurai Del Sol. I think that's going to be the show stealer. More matches will be announced soon featuring Bobby Fish, the Super Smash Brothers, and more. DDT, they have promised to produce more shows throughout Japan, and it will come to fruition with the Road to Budokan tour starting this month. So far, there are six shows that are part of the tour. The Triple Tails S team of Kana and Mio Shirai have a nasty surprise ahead of them in Yokohama. Hiroku Sato and Michael Nakazawa, aka Dohin Taiden, will be waiting for them. Last time Nakazawa was in the ring with Kana, he tried all he could to get his hands on her. Last time he was in the ring with Mio Shirai, she and her sister stripped him naked. Lucky motherfucker. So yeah, this match could get very perverted quick. Masa Takanashi has a very difficult challenge ahead of him for his first defense of the KOD Openweight title. Yoshihino has been unstoppable in his DDT run as part of the Crying Wolf stable. With the KOD tag team title run already under his belt, he is now looking to add the KOD championship to his list of accomplishments. Another craziness, that's DDT. On May 26, 2012, at the Norobu Detsu Date Open Air Theater, in a false count anywhere match, Kota Ibushi versus Tanshihiro Takagi versus Tomoya versus Michael Nakazawa. And excuse me, it's Noborai Betsu Date Open Air Theater. Noborai Betsu Date is a village in Hokkaido that features a lot of samurai and ninja themed tourist spots. Even though the match will begin inside the local theater, it will certainly break out to other parts of the village. Maybe it will wind up inside the cat template, the ninja maze, or the ghost house. Yoshihiro Tajiri announces a new promotion. The name of his new promotion will be called Wrestling New Classic, or WNC for short. The very first show will be held on April 26th at Shinjuku Face, and the second following up on May 24th at Kurigan Hall. The talent to be working with Tajiri as of announced of the promotion are Akira, Hajime Okara, Shuri, Kana, Makoto, Tsuke Kodama, Takashi Doi, and Jiro Kuroshio. Two matches added for the 426 show, Tajiri vs. Akira. The winner faces Dave Finley on May 24th. Maybe that's the kind of new champion. Kana and Mio Shirai will take on Shuri and Makoto. All Japan's biggest tournament of the year, the Champion Carnival Tournament, will begin this month starting on April 21st with a block sanction. With block sanction matches taking place until May 6th. On May 7th, the two highest ranking wrestlers in each of their respective blocks will move on to the semifinals, then the final match that are scheduled at the Kurigan Hall. Last year's winner, Yuji Nagata, is back in the fold again this year, but the current reigning Triple Crown champion, Jun Akiyama, will not be involved in the tournament. The winner of this tournament, though, will earn a future title match against the reigning Triple Crown champion. In Block A, you have Team Destruction Suwama, you have Get Wild Takao Mori, you have Kenzo from Team Bichido, you have Matsuyuki Kono from the Stack of Arms, you have Smops Yodahama, you have Yuji Nagata, you have Big Japan's Daisuke Sekimoto, and he's making his Carnival debut. In the B block, you have Taokeya, Seiya Sonata, Mana Busoya, Smops Akibono, Yutaka Yoshi, Yushi Okabayashi, and either Takuma Soya or Yasufumi Nakanueo. They're going to have a match on the 14th, and whoever wins gets that spot in the Champion Carnival. The newly appointed Seven Samurai of All Japan, consisting of Suwama, Takao Mori, Mana Busoya, Kenzo, Taokeya, Akibono, and Yodahama, came forward following Akiyama's successful defense against Keiji Muto and are aiming to be one of the ones to bring the belt back to All Japan. Bushi is set to return to the All Japan ring for the Junior Tag League as a part of the sixth and final team. Bushi's been out of action since December 4th. There's been a shift of one of the NOAH units. Anmu is officially no more as Kotaro Suzuki and Natsushi Oki have decided to join Jun Akiyama and Akitoshi Saito as part of the Akiyama group. Takeshi Sugiura suffered a herniated disc in his lower back and will not be able to compete on the March 18th. Oh, excuse me. I'm bugging. Not March 18th. Scratch that. DDT announced that Kota Ibushi is set to return and he will be facing off against El Generico on May 4th. Ibushi's been out of action since September of 2011 following a dislocated shoulder, then opting to undergo surgery to correct the muscle and ligament damage from over the years. New Japan announced that they will be holding a qualifying tournament for 8 up-and-coming talents to earn a shot into the Best of the Super Juniors tournament that starts in May. The tournament will be single elimination with only one wrestler earning the shot into this year's BOSJA. The 8 names and matches for day 1 have been announced for the shows. Hiromu Takahashi, Takaki Wanatabe, Kaji Tomato, yes that's his name, Hiro Tonai, Yuichi Senike, Madoka, Yusuke Kodama, and Black Tiger. New Japan Pro Wrestling released a video on April 2nd stating that someone is coming back. To make a long story short, Loki is coming back to New Japan Pro Wrestling in order to pose challenge to Prince Devitt and that Junior Heavyweight Championship. A lot of people in the wrestling community, not the workers, but the fans, really show their displeasure with Loki going into New Japan again. I'm actually stoked for it. Their match when I saw New Japan and Jersey All Pros joint show here in New York, Loki DeVitt was a great match, but now in that Japanese setting, it might even be 10 times better, so I'm kind of stoked for it. Prince Devitt defeated Valador Jr. and CMLL to be crowned the new NWA World Historic Middleweight Champion. Devitt, who is also the reigning IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion, will be heading back to Japan soon. It should be interesting to see him being crowned a new champion. Will alter the best of the Super Juniors starting late in May. You gotta think that some CMLL stars may be involved and try to earn the right to win the belt back. The crowd was strongly behind Valador. Moscato was DeVitt's second. Mephisto was Valador's second. Valador took the first fall with a backcracker. Devitt took the second. And Devitt won a long third fall with the Bloody Sunday. DeVitt is the fourth champion. The teams have been announced for the Global League 2012. Following the announcement, Eddie Edwards and Colt Cabana will be coming in as the ROH team. The team so far, I think I announced this last week, but if I did, fuck it. Jun Akiyama, Nakatoshi Saito, Takeshi Morishima, and Katsuhiko Nakajima, Michi Marafuji and Mohamed Oyone, Goshi Ozaki and Tomon Honda, Yoshihiro Takayama and Maybach Taniguchi, Kensuke Sasaki versus Kento Miyahara, Eddie Edwards and Colt Cabana, and Shinjiro Otani and Daichi Hashimoto. Diamond Ring released the scheduled matches to happen at the next couple of shows in April. The main match that is being set up at the moment will be between the championship match. Katsuhiko Nakajima will be defending the GHC Junior Heavyweight title against Fujita Junior Hayato. There will be a prelude six-man tag match on April 1st, which leads to the title match on April 15th. Kenichiro Arai will not be the lone Dragon Gate wrestler coming in for shows, as it's been announced that Jimmy Susumu, Susumu Yokosuka, and K-Ness will be coming in as well. The up-and-comers under Kensuke Sasaki will be put to the challenge against K-Ness Suka in a tag match on April 14th, then a six-man tag on April 15th. Yusuke Kodama, Jiro Koroshio, and Hajime Ohara will also be coming in to participate from the former Smash promotion. Hajime Ohara, in particular, though, will have a big match on the 15th, as he will be going up against Kensuke Sasaki. With Smash promotion officially closing, you know the deal with the Jiri's new promotion. So there's really no need to go into that. New Japan announced that they have released Tomokai Hamna from his contract. The reason behind the matter has been noted as personal, but the details are private. So, Hanma is no longer employed by New Japan. Hanma had quite a following in New Japan for some time and recently had a super over pairing with Tetsu Naito. Hanma has also had a recent showing against Masato Tanaka for the IWGP IC belt. So, there you have it. Seems like he has some Yakuza dealings. But I don't like to report news that really hasn't been really thoroughly researched, so I'm not going to comment on that rumor. It's been officially announced international wrestling legend The Great Muta and All Japan Pro Wrestling top junior heavyweight contender Kai are coming to PWS Pro Wrestling Syndicate on June 1st and June 2nd. More top stars have signed on to celebrate PWS's 5-year anniversary weekend in June. New names will be revealed every single day from this point forward, so stay tuned to the Chronic Connection board and the podcast, and I will be releasing those names to you as soon as I get them. At this time, I think I'm going to take a quick commercial break, so when I come back, you know the deal. More news, notes, tidbits, blah, blah, blah.
No Way Out 2001. Yourself, Chris Jericho, Chris Benoit, and X-Pac. You guys did a great four-way match. Mm-hmm. What are your memories of that match?
The memories of that match were, we were all talking stuff over and trying to get things situated and organized. We're all doing interviews, we're all doing this and that. We only had like 5 minutes to prepare before we went out, and it worked out best that way, because even the stuff that we had, we wound up changing it just before we went out, and everything was more, it worked out best because, like I said, everybody wrestled with their heart and how they felt.
Right.
And it came out to be a better match. You know, yeah, we had our finishes and certain spots, but I mean, everything just flowed on that.
What are your thoughts on the feud they were starting to build with yourself and the Hardys over Lita?
It was neat. It was good. I didn't understand a lot of it, but a lot of it I did.
What were the plans, I guess? Where were they going to go with
that? I don't know where they were going to go with that. I have no idea.
How was your relationship with Jim Ross?
With Jim, man, he's the president, you know. I don't know.
Did you get along with him? Or?
Yeah, I got along with him. Just certain things that I didn't like, you know, but he had every right to say them. I guess, you know, when I went to rehab, there was some comments that he threw at me over the phone that I really didn't like. And I'll always remember that from him. And, I got to get over it because it really pissed me off. Probably because it was the truth.
What made you go to rehab?
It was an ultimatum. Go to rehab or be fired. You know, I didn't want to go in. I went in kicking and screaming. But it's probably one of the best things that's happened to me.
How did things go at rehab?
Great. You know, I did what I was supposed to do. Got through the program.
Were you 100% ready to return?
Obviously, I wasn't, because I went out again.
I was going to ask you if you could describe the incident where you got the DUI charge.
Man, I don't want to play my violin here. I've been doing that for 7 months now, and just feeling sorry for myself. I don't want to feel sorry for myself anymore. I want to take responsibility for what I did. You know, I got hooked on the painkillers. I went to rehab. They gave me an opportunity. They paid all the rehab. They paid my bills while I was gone. Never stopped sending a check. WWF was very faithful to that. And they even gave me a chance to come back. I was working out, you know, and they already had storylines. I think I was going to start going with Lita and Jeff again and Matt, you know, into that same storyline. It just, what took me out, I guess, you know, just a lot of personal issues. A lot of personal issues that I've been dealing with for a long time. This is really the first time. Second time I went, you know, I did anything after rehab. You know, I was clean 6 months, 5 months, and I drank one night, and then I stopped and went back. And then that night, the second night I drank, you know, obviously I got caught with the DUI. I guess the divorce issues had a big strain on me. Being rejected, I guess, because it wasn't me that wanted the divorce, it was her. A lot of financial issues that I don't care to go into because I'm not so much at fault on that. Like three big things at once, you know, getting out of rehab, trying to stay sober, going through a divorce, financial issues. Living alone when I've been living, you know, had 11 years of marriage, and before that I was living with my mom and dad. You know, I really was never alone. The thing of not being able to see my kids a lot, which I'm very close to, has had a big effect on me. And I can give all the excuses in the world and try and justify what I did, but the bottom line is, it was wrong, obviously. You know, it's no excuse to get drunk. It's no excuse to get out of myself. You know, that's what an addict does. You know, that's what we do best, is try and numb the pain with somebody else, with something else. And I guess at that time, in my state of mind, that's what I wanted to do, was just get out of myself. And obviously I can't do it normally. I gotta take it to the extreme, which is my addictive personality, you know. So, yeah, you know, no excuses. I screwed up bad, and now I'm paying the consequences. And I'll tell you something, it's that DUI and me being let go from WWF. Sometimes I kick myself in the ass, and sometimes now I'm realizing it's probably the best thing that happened to me for my personal sight and insight on it, and especially for my spiritual insight, because I've always been a spiritual person, and maybe since 98, 99, I just totally was withdrawn from my spirituality with I believe in Christ, and you know, I'm a Christian, and I've always had a relationship with Him, and I got away from that during those years. And with it's unfortunate that it takes these bad things in my life to get back to where I am, and spiritually, but I haven't had this kind of peace in a long time. You know, and there's no money, no material, no person. Not even my children that can cure that pain and that emotional distress that I was in. Just the understanding of my God, you know, the understanding of Christ and that I believe in. And that's the only thing that where I find peace, and that's where I'm back at, you know.
Right.
And you know, when I got fired, man, I thought it was gonna be the end of the world. I didn't know what I was going to do, man. I didn't know how I was going to pay the bills.
Right.
I didn't know how I was going to pay the bills. I didn't know what I was going to do. I didn't know if I was still going to be able to make a living wrestling, you know? And God's opening the doors up in so many ways, you know? And it's a big experience for me, man. But I'll tell you something, WWF isn't the world. There's a lot more out there than that. And I'm seeing it again.
Now, did you think that the WF would let you go?
I knew they were.
Right.
I've always had a sixth sense. You can ask Chavo Jr. about this one of these days. He'll tell you. Even when I talked to one of the agents, I don't want to name names,
right.
I talked to one of the agents, and they said, "No, you're not going to be fired, but this is it. You got to really straighten up." And I was in Cincinnati that Monday, and I got a message from that certain agent, and they had talked to the people on top, obviously, and they called back and left a message on my phone while I was at the gym, and I knew it. I knew it when I got the message, so I called back, and sure enough, they said I was terminated. And it was hard, man. It was hard to hear. It was just blew my mind.
Did they leave the door open? Because obviously Steve Regal had his problems in the past, and he had to go back and prove himself. He went to Memphis and stuff. I mean, do you think the door's left open for you to return?
I don't know. Never say never. You know what, though? I'm not going to put my hopes and ambitions on them. No way. Because that's what I did before. You know, and like I said, it's not them that screwed this up. It's me. This is my doing. I'm not blaming them at all. Whether I'm going to ever go back to them, maybe. But you know what? I don't have to prove nothing to them. I've heard that. Well, if you prove yourself, you can come back. You know who I got to prove it to? God and myself. I mean, I'm staying sober right now because there's nothing holding me back now. I got no job issues, no legal issues except the DUI, you know, that can keep me from going out. This time, right now, as of today, and since the DUI, I've been staying sober, first of all, one step at a time, one day at a time, by the graces of God. And with a lot of help from friends and a program, you know. And I'm doing it this time because I want to stay sober for me. For me. I've noticed that when I can't speak for anybody else. I'm just speaking for Eddie Guerrero. When I do these things, bad things happen. even when I don't mean to go hurt anybody, because, you know, thank God I didn't. I don't want to hurt anybody. Even when I just wanted to, just to be on my own and just do it by myself, bad things happen. I don't know why, just bad things happen. To me, that's God telling me, hey, dummy, I don't want you doing this. So it's more now, not just for job issues and stuff like that. Yeah, all that ties into it. But the main thing for me right now is me now. It's for me now, for God and me. That's it.
Do you think the business puts a lot of strains on a person like yourself?
Well, I can say that, and it does. There's a lot of pressures. But that's why we're professionals. We're expected to deal with these pressures. We're professionals. That's what we're getting paid for. And it can be done. Look at all the guys that have more pressure than I've had. You know, maybe different situations and different stuff, you know. And they handle it, you know. They handle it without booze. They handle it without drugs, you know. Look at Steven. Steven, you know, he's a great example. Look at how much he's come back, you know. And even then, you know, he still has to watch it because it's one day at a time.
Are you negotiating right now with any other groups?
I've gotten a hold of Japan. Looks like I'm going back to Japan. XWF,
let's call Jimmy Hart's promotion.
I've talked to them. They say they're interested. I don't know. It's just a certain thing. And right now, just independent work, man.
What about Mexico? Because I know Ray Jr.'s down there. Hoovy's down there.
I wouldn't mind going back to Mexico, even if it's to see family, you know.
I didn't really get to talk to you about Hoovy. What are your thoughts on Juventud?
He's a nut, man. Very talented nut. I love Hoovy, man. He's got a great heart. He's wild at heart, and he reminds me a lot of me.
All right. We went off.
Yeah, he's wild. He's a wild... obviously, he's got a great talent.
Right. What was it like working, with Les Thatcher and HWA? You were there
great.
For a little bit.
I love Les. Total gentleman. I mean, with me, he's just awesome. That's why I respect him so much.
Now, this past Friday, you worked for an indie promotion up in New York, IWC.
ICW.
I'm sorry. And you worked with Loki. How did that go as far as your first match in the indie scene?
Surprisingly, it was good for me. I needed to know if I could still do that type of match. And maybe I wasn't as quick as I usually was, but I haven't been in really that type of a match for 7 months. I haven't really even been in the ring for that long, you know, at one time.
Right.
So it was good. I'm a little out of shape, but I'm working my way back towards the shape I need to be in.
How do people treat you?
Awesome. Awesome.
Did your elbow pretty much heal?
Yeah,
up?
I did the frog splash. No brace. You guys see me working without the brace now. It feels great. You know, that's another one. Another good thing from all this time off is my body's had time to really heal. You know, this is the best injury-free my body's been since 99.
At what point in your career did you say, wow, I made it. I'm in the business. I am where I want to be. Or did you reach that level yet?
It's not where I want to be. I always want to try to achieve the most I can. You know, I want to be a main eventer one of these days in a paper. That's my goal. You know, whether it happened or not, I don't know. All I can do is just keep trying. You know, I know I'm successful because I'm happy with what I can do in the ring.
Right.
That is success to me. Having the boys, having, I guess, respect of some of the boys. I don't know if they all respect me, but, you know, having, being treated right by the boys in the dressing room, that's success. You know, success to me now is more than money and is more than fame and being on TV. You know, success for me is different now. And it, like I said, it's taken a lot of bad shit to happen to me for me to realize this.
Right.
But success for me right now, and it probably from now until the day I die, I'll always measure, you know, my performance in the ring, how I can please the true wrestling fans and the new wrestling fans, and you know, respect of my comrades and what I do. As far as business wise, the real success comes in personal life, which is my biggest battle right now.
Do you have any regrets?
Yeah, I've got a lot of regrets. I've got a lot of regrets of the wrong decisions that I made. I've got a lot of regrets. I wish I could have done a lot of stuff over, but I can't. What I can do is learn from the mistakes that I've done in life.
To this day, what is your fondest memory in the ring or in the business?
I don't know. Well, that's hard to say, you know. I've had a lot of good memories in the ring. A lot of them. I think there are moments after a match, standing in the ring and feeling that high, that natural rush.
Right.
That adrenaline high. Of the people, like after the ECW match with Dean, like after the match with Rey Mysterio and Halloween Havoc, after that match with Chris Benoit in the semifinals in the junior tournament, you know, a lot of matches with Chris have been like that though.
Right.
You know, those are my memories, man, standing in the ring and feeling that's what I love in there, you know? I got a little taste of that this past week again. It felt good. I haven't had that in a long time. You know, I'm not, there's still a little bit in the gas tank, you know?
Is there anybody out there that you haven't worked with yet that you want to work with?
Oh, there's a lot of people. Oh, there's a lot of good talent out there. I'd like to work against Rob Van Dam. Who else? Super Crazy. That's another talented kid. I got to work with Loki.
Right.
I wanted to work with him. You know, there's a lot of talent out there that I'd like to work with. You know. I'd like to get Jeff Hardy in a singles match.
Any good road stories? Or rib stories? We always ask that, so.
On myself?
On you. Yeah, you've seen. Taken in or
See, if I can't tell on ribs,
okay.
Because then they're not ribs.
Yes.
I can tell how they shave my eyebrows.
All right.
The Nasty Boys, thanks to them.
We're known for that.
Oh yeah, they got me good. which time? No, it was just the first time.
That's great.
Just in the plane, drinking. Drugging.
Right.
Yeah, they gimmick my beer, the Alzians, and I don't know what else. So I was out, man, and they shaved my eyebrows. And not only that, I heard, I don't remember this, but they told me that I had my dick out in my hand. And that the stewardesses came by and said, "You can't be like that." And Chris got a blanket and put it over me. But it's just stuff like that, you know, that I remember.
Right.
They left a little Hitler mustache. They shaved my eyebrows. They cut my bangs. They cut a little triangle on my head.
Right.
Shaved a triangle on my head. So you can imagine, I look like Frankenstein. And then they left a little Hitler mustache on me. Oh,
that's
man.
Great.
Jeez.
Just going to mention some names, and you just one word comment or one sentence
sure.
on some of the guys. Sting.
He's influenced me spiritually.
Lex Luger.
Great body.
The Rock.
Strives for perfection. Hard work.
Steve Austin.
Oh, wait. I gotta throw this in, too. Some of the best interviews I've ever seen, heard, is from The Rock.
Right.
Yeah. He knows how to do it.
Steve Austin.
Save WWF sass. He's a workhorse. Oh, phenomenal. Can do it all. Complete package.
Shane McMahon.
How do you say, he wants man, he's driven. Driven, and he's a perfectionist, and he's driven. You know, I don't know how to put that. When a person wants to be successful in business,
right?
What do you call
perseverance?
Perseverance, man. Talk about a guy that, man, he's cool, oh, man. I wish I had that. It's a great quality.
Stephanie McMahon.
Intelligent.
I guess in closing, is there anything you want to say to your fans out there that you're never given the opportunity to say before that might be watching this videotape?
Thanks for your support. I hope I can keep bringing satisfaction to you guys. I hope I can continue to produce. I know I want it in my heart. If it weren't for the fans, not only me, but all the wrestling business, there wouldn't be one. So I'm always grateful to the fans, whether it be reality or
from 2001, our video shoot interview with Eddie Guerrero. You could just see the detoxing look on his face. That was in 2001. He had just got out of rehab. Remember, that's when WWE first sent him to rehab from his addiction to painkillers from that car accident they had. So he just got out of rehab and he was working on the indies. It's kind of, it's just fucked up. Rest in peace, Eddie. I don't even want to dwell on that shit. Yo, on the little track you heard at the end of the break, that was another track done by my boy Razor Sharp. Pretty much, he asked for a beat to sample. I gave him the No Mercy shit, and pretty much he created art with that shit. So big shout out to my boy Razor Sharp. One more bit of indie news before I go into your mainstream shit. Jersey All Pro Wrestling makes its long-awaited return to the Rahway Wex Center on 275 East Milton Avenue in Rahway, New Jersey, on Saturday, April 14th, 2012, with the 8 p.m. bell time. This is the 14th anniversary show of Jersey All Pro Wrestling. Currently announced for the vacant JAPW Championship, Lowkey vs. Dan Moss. For the vacant JAPW Tag Team Championships, the SST Outlaws of the Notorious 187 Homicide and the King of Diamonds, Eddie Kingston, will take on Philly's Most Wanted of Black Jeans and Joker. You have a Best of the Lightweights as Bandito Jr. versus Azrael versus Pinky Sanchez versus Devin Moore versus Ricky Reyes versus Arcadia. The Midnight Sensations of Chris Rockwell and Sam Shields will take on Glitz and Glamour, Aaron Stride, and Jarrett Foster, who will be accompanied to the ring by Angelina from Jersey Shore Seasons 1 and 2. No comment. Warriors of Wrestling Heavyweight Championship. Word. The champion Jason Cross versus Jason Karloff. In a women's match, Mia Yim will take on Kimberly. The Southside Players Club versus the Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, and a special attraction, Monster Mac versus the handicapped hero, Gregory Iron. Doors open at 7 o'clock. Warriors of Wrestling will host the pre-show at 7:30. Really? Fat Frank would like to say goodbye to everyone and also make a special announcement. And Chikara will host the event early in the day with a 2 p.m. bell time. So that's going to be a whole day of wrestling. I'd go and check it out if I was you. I might just check that shit out. It's from the Sunlight Stadium. Having technical difficulties over here, so once again, WrestleMania 28 was last week. So this Saturday into Sunday. Anyway, for the tag team title match for the WWE Tag Team Championships, the Usos versus Justin Gabriel and Tyson Kidd versus a defending Primo and Epico. I think that match was fucking awesome. Anyway, Epico and Primo won. That match right there alone showed that those two should be getting more time on Raw and SmackDown instead of NXT and Superstars. That match was fucking awesome. Then WrestleMania opened up with the World Heavyweight Championship match of Daniel Bryan and Sheamus. Sheamus is your winner and your new World Heavyweight Champion. I'm kind of pissed off at that because Daniel Bryan lost in a record 18 seconds. They were trying to break the record of 8 seconds held by Chavo and Kane, but they didn't do it. It's kind of fucked up what they did with Daniel Bryan, but I hope after seeing what happened on SmackDown that, you know, the storyline of being bigged up and, you know, change my whole impression of it. Because right now, I'm still kind of pissed off at it. So once again, winner in your new World Heavyweight Champion, Sheamus. And the shocker of the night for me, Kane defeats Randy Orton with the choke slam from the top rope. The second rope, excuse me. And the next match, you had Cody Rhodes defending the Intercontinental Championship against the Big Show, your winner. By, what does he call that shit? The Weapon of Mass Destruction. We won a new Intercontinental Champion, The Big Show. I really didn't have any problems with that match. I enjoyed it. I mean, it was kind of obvious that Big Show was going to win. Because all the heat that Cody was catching week after week after week after week, making Big Show look like shit, I knew he was finally going to get his WrestleMania moment. But it was still cool anyway. And another shocker of the night, we get a hype-up video for the Divas Tag Team match. And next we have Beth Phoenix and Eve Torres versus Kelly Kelly and Maria Menounos. And the winners of that was Kelly Kelly and Maria Menounos when Menounos rolls Beth up for the win. A lot of people say they didn't like Beth going down Brandon. But once again, I will have to say that was actually genius because that's exactly what WWE wants. Publicity. That mainstream exposure. Menounos is on Dancing with the Stars. Dancing with the Stars already gets that mainstream exposure, like on Entertainment Tonight and stuff like that. Having Menounos pin Beth will go on those shows when her name gets brought up, generating more viewers for WWE and putting it in a different light and trying to put it in the same categories of entertainment as Dancing with the Stars, yada, yada, yada. So that move was fucking brilliant. Stop thinking like a mark. Hell in a Cell was next. Triple H vs. The Undertaker with Shawn Michaels as the special guest referee. To me, that was a match of the fucking night. That match was awesome. Storytelling and psychology is a lost art, and they told that shit in that match. They threw it down. I don't think anybody else in that locker room could have told that story better than them. I know, who was it? Who was it that I was speaking to on the board? Oh, Lurch, and he still said last year's match was better. I disagree, and I'll tell you why I disagree. I told you my reasons why I liked it, and then he was like, nah, they needed Shawn Michaels' help. But I think if they put Charles Robinson or any other referee in there, well, any other referee except for Scotty Armstrong, God, I despise his officiating. But anyway, I think the story told the way that it was told, the match still would have been the shit, and I still think it was better better than last year's. I think that was the best one. Anyway, after the match, they showed that sign of camaraderie for all three of them hugging at the top. I don't think it was the hug because it was the end of an era. I think they hug because they know they ripped that shit in the ring. That was a 5-star fucking match. And if I didn't say Undertaker won, Team Laurinaitis versus Team Long was next. As you know, Team Laurinaitis won, so fucking Johnny Ace has control of both Raw and SmackDown. So before the WWE title match, we see CM Punk, when Laurinaitis walks by celebrating, Laurinaitis stops and teases Punk. He wants a wrestling match tonight, and he announces that if Punk loses his temper and gets disqualified, he'll lose the WWE title to Chris Jericho. So there you have that. So you have that stipulation going in before the match. And in the match, which I thought was a good match, by the way, CM Punk retained. It was pretty much telling the story because Jericho was saying, your father's a drunk, your sister's a wino, blah, blah, blah. I know I'm not saying the exact quote, but I'm saying, you know, the basic point of it. And it told the story, and the match fucking delivered. I had no problem with it. Like I said, CM Punk retains. I'm not even going to get into Brodus Clay and them calling their mamas and fucking Sean P. Fuck You Diddy Combs and Machine Gun Kelly. Fuck him too. He's a bootleg Yellow Wolf. Yellow Wolf is better lyrically anyway. Then there's The Rock versus John Cena, and The Rock wins. My honest opinion is I'm kind of pissed off that The Rock won, not because Cena was killing him in his promos and all that other bullshit, but could it be? Could it be Rock's ego that didn't want him to lose in Miami, or is there a whole bigger picture to this and it's leading into the Cena story? I don't really. That's why I don't like to really give my opinions on things. I like to let things rock for a little bit, and it's still a little bit too early for me to give my exact opinion because I hate when I'm fucking wrong. I don't like sounding like a jackass either. But I do give WrestleMania as a whole out of 10 stars. I do give it be honest with you, I give it a 7.5. I really had no problems with it. I thought it was dope. No need to talk about Monday Night Raw because nothing happened on that show except for the end when Brock Lesnar made his return and fake John Cena to give him a handshake, and Brock Lesnar F5'd him. Oh yeah, and also the return of Albert Giant Bernard, if you want to call him, with Lord Tenzai, now coming out with Sekimoto. He was in Michinoku Pro as Cosmo, so that's a little info for you on that. I'm not even gonna front. I wasn't even gonna mention Tenzai, but when I look to the right, I see him coming out on Raw, so I caught it. But other than that, Raw was the drizzling shits. Dolph Ziggler, he took a passive-aggressive shot at The Rock over the Great One's limited schedule with WWE via Twitter. A Twitter user wrote to the WWE superstar this week, "Couldn't decide which Flex Force WWE figure to buy between your action figure and The Rock's. Chose The Rock in the end." Ziggler responded, "Typical. Just make sure you only play with it 4 to 5 times a year." So, a lot of people are fucking bitter. I think that was witty. The morale is low among some members of the WWE's creative team after many of them were not invited to the annual post-WrestleMania party Sunday night in Miami. Former creative writer Christopher D. Joseph, aka Big Dick Johnson, he did an interview and he said he heard from current staff members that they are upset with the snub. He said they felt disrespected since they were a big part of putting WrestleMania together. I guess they didn't want to rub shoulders with the little guys. That's kind of fucked up. Bougie fucking snobs. Rosa Mendez was voicing her displeasure with herself, Primo and Epico being left off of the WrestleMania's pay-per-view, as well as SmackDown. She put on Twitter, "It's amazing how I called my mama, and she asked me why Brodus Clay and his mamas were on WrestleMania when people would rather watch Primo and Epico wrestle and me dancing myself to instead." Well, Primo and Epico, yeah, but not this also. Mendez added, "Epico Primo with Rosa Mendez not on SmackDown. Funny how nobody is manning up against us. I can't get angry. It's pathetic." It's reported that the Twitter rant is part of WWE's initiative to integrate storylines on the microblogging website. You're supposed to initiate storylines in the ring. not constantly backstage or on Twitter or on Facebook. Initiate them by telling stories in the ring. WrestleMania 29 will take place 1 year from today at MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey. Regarding potential weather for the event, the weather.com forecast today calls for a high of 60 degrees with a low of 39 degrees and winds are up to 25 miles an hour. Nobody's been in that stadium before. That stadium is fucking beautiful. Before WrestleMania, that's just going to be hot. I'm going to be up in that yatch. TMZ published a story on Stone Cold Steve Austin's Texas ranch being hit by a nasty storm this week. His barn was destroyed as violent winds blew the top off. Austin says fix it and quote, ain't gonna be cheap, end quote, but he plans to use the opportunity to add more storage space. Lex Luger was among those on hand for last week's WWE Hall of Fame induction ceremony. According to reports, Survivor Series is expected to take place on Sunday, November 18th at the Console Energy Center in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. If you go on WWE.com, you see The Rock's profile is now listed among both Raw superstars and WWE alumni. Rumors of Larry Zbyszko's death are untrue. The rumor originated on a Twitter account claiming to be the official account of Zbyszko. His legitimate account is located at twitter.com/livinglegend, LZ. He acknowledged the rumors Friday night, saying, I quote, I am not dead. I can never die. I am the living legend. This is my one and only real Twitter account, so I want this butthead to quit lying about me. I look better than John Cena, and I would have beaten The Rock. End quote. Oh man, that's funny. Zbyszko is advertised to appear at Saturday's I Believe in Wrestling show in Orlando, Florida, and as he will be managing his son Tim in his wrestling debut. Couple of more 3-hour Raws are about to come up. A 3-hour Raw Super Show is scheduled for June 11th at the XL Center in Hartford, Connecticut. It's the final show before No Way Out on June 17th in East Rutherford, New Jersey. A 3-hour Raw is also scheduled for April 23rd. I think this is pretty cool, old friends getting together. Shawn Michaels and Kevin Nash will participate in an autograph signing together on May 19th at the Frank Inton Collectible Show, 19649 San Jose, City of Industry, California. Zack Ryder is the latest WWE superstar to try out Diamond Dallas Page's yoga program, DDP Yoga, available at ddpyoga.com. Other WWE talent utilizing the fitness workout include Chris Jericho, Curt Hawkins, Daniel Bryan, Kane, Mick Foley, Santino Marella, The Miz, Titus O'Neil, and William Regal. Speaking of WrestleMania 29, tickets are expected to be released in November. So save your guap. With WrestleMania in the books and new talent being promoted to the main roster, there's a lot of talk that WWE's annual, let's just say, giving of the pink slip will occur sooner than later. This week alone saw the debut of 6 new talents, and according to Jim Ross, many more wrestlers from FCW will be introduced in the coming weeks. So TNA has announced 3 new title matches for Lockdown on April 15th at the Nashville Municipal Auditorium, as the World Tag Team Championship, Women's Knockout Championship, and Television Championship will be on the line. A stipulation has been added to Lethal Lockdown, as the losing Bischoff family member must leave TNA for good. In a steel cage match for the World Heavyweight Championship, Bobby Roode defends against Cowboy James Storm. In the Lethal Lockdown, Team Eric Bischoff versus Team Garrett Bischoff. In a steel cage match, the charismatic Enigma Jeff Hardy versus Kurt Angle. Steel cage for the World Tag Team Championship, Magnus and Samoa Joe defend against Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin, the Motor City Machine Guns. Gail Kim defends versus Velvet Sky. Devon defends the television championship against Robbie E, and Crimson will take on the Blueprint Matt Morgan. WWE.com profiles former ECW personality Beulah McGillicuddy in the latest edition of Where Are They Now. She discusses her time in the land of extreme, her family, and becoming a children's book author. She also explains why she left the professional wrestling industry in 98. I just felt it was time for me to move on with my life. I was turning 30 and wanted to go back to college and start a family, Beulah said. More on the releases and reshuffling. Jim Ross says that this is the case as several WWE developmental wrestlers were told to surface on the main roster in the near future. Several FCW talents are either being introduced or on the cusp of such on a WWE roster. Expect to see several new personas in the coming weeks on Raw and SmackDown. Congrats to all who've earned an opportunity. So Scott Steiner went on a Twitter rant on Hulk Hogan. He also alleges that TNA controls Sting's account on the microblogging site. These are Scott Steiner's tweets. When these assholes got control, they tried to take over everybody's Twitter page. You didn't have Twitter, they made one up for you. So you people who think you're tweeting Sting, it's not him. He told me he doesn't watch the show, so he's not tweeting about a show he doesn't watch. Everybody refused to sign over Twitter, so every week you get an email begging you to Twitter what they want. Got one today. Please tweet this. Hogan, take over as GM. Wonder what he will do. What the fuck, really? Even if you're not on the show, please tweet. So the booking team of Pritchard, Bischoff, and Hogan won't book you if you don't tweet about Hogan. Tweet about yourself, Hogan. Nobody else wants to tweet about you, you fucking mark. I'm tweeting what they wish they could. Wondering what Hogan's gonna do. He's a fucking mark, so he's gonna make a couple of matches that people wanna see. Nothing more unprofessional than a heel wanting to be cheered. So people cheer him, which pissed everybody off, especially Sting, because he had to wrestle him. Having the future of wrestling Garrett do something because Eric told him to do in booking meetings, what a fucking joke. Now he's good, but he's going to everything like he did when he was bad because he was first good. This is what Steiner writes. And that produced the worst ratings ever, so he went bad, which just was as bad as when he was good. Okay, I kind of get that one. Then his bad wasn't any good because his ratings still suck, so he turned back to good from bad. What the fuck are y'all getting this bullshit? Don't forget to say brother because it's fresh. Stupid mofo. Remember, deny you had anything to do with the release of the sex tape to try and get more sales. How Kardashian of you. Oh shit. Homo mania running wild. His shit writes itself. His ex-wife said he was gay, right? Who bought in Orlando Jordan? Holy shit. Damn. He chewed Hogan up and spit him the fuck out. Hulk Hogan responded to Scott Steiner's outburst towards him, saying, and I quote, "Wow, do I feel like a fool? I knew Steiner came to TNA the last tapings and he was asked to leave. I heard the news and I was lobbying hard to bring him back the right way because I see money and talent in him. I had no idea he felt that way about me because he is always really nice to me and my family. Guess I was really wrong. At least I know where he really is. I guess I know who he really is now." So, the WWE website has posted an article looking at 5 superstars bracing for Brock. The article names Randy Orton, Sheamus, Mark Henry, Big Show, and Kane, yawn, as potential challengers for Lesnar in the coming months. Big Show, maybe, because there's history. And the woes continue for TNA. Based on cable estimates, TNA Victory Royal pay-per-view bombed with around 7,000 buys. Oof. This is less than half of what Victory Road 2011 did with Sting vs. Jeff Hardy. Sting vs. Bobby Roode headlined this year's event. Damn, 7,000, that's it? It's nothing. Despite reaction from fans, TNA will be using Twitter more often for upcoming pay-per-view events. They can't use Twitter that much during Impact Wrestling each week because it's not live. The new Twitter presence is an idea of Dave Lagana's, although Eric Bischoff and Jason Murphy are behind it big time. Sharks. Fighting niggas, trying to capitalize on that WWE Twitter shit. Jerry Lynn vs. Justin Credible has been added to the Extreme Reunion event on April 28th in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. WWE has an article up looking at who could be challenging Sheamus for the World Heavyweight Alberto Del Rio, Big Show, Daniel Bryan, and members of Team Laurinaitis. They also wrote the following about Brock Lesnar possibly taking Sheamus on. And finally, there's also the 500-pound elephant in the room. Just 1 week ago, the thought of a Brock Lesnar-Sheamus title bout may have seemed like nothing more than a fantasy, but Lesnar's shocking presence Monday night opens up the imagination to all kinds of possibilities. Though his intentions are not clear at this moment, his very name adds fuel to the fires of speculation as the WWE Universe plays a very real game of who's next in line to challenge for the World Heavyweight Championship. End quote. Daniel Bryan should be exercising his 30-day clause and getting this fucking rematch. Do they even have the 30-day clause anymore where the champion gets the rematch? There's a lot of talk going around the wrestling world that Ric Flair will be back with the WWE in 2013, especially if the network gets off the ground since a lot of footage will be used and he's very popular with the public. Flair's deal with TNA expires at the end of the year. Flair did an interview for a Charlotte radio station where he claimed his last wrestling match was the retirement match against Shawn Michaels. Really? remember you wrestling Jay Lethal a couple of times and then bleeding into a, and beating you to a bloody fucking pulp, ripping you out of your suit and shit. Memory loss. Sudden rapid memory loss that people get. Sudden amnesia really kills me at times. And he's also talked highly of Vince McMahon and The Rock. WWE champ CM Punk, John Cena, Cody Rhodes, JTG, and Kofi Kingston have all been rumored to replace Randy Orton in WWE's The Marine 3 because the movie is co-promoted with 20th Century Fox. WWE wants a big name star in the movie, and the number of guys at or near Orton's level are limited. The movie begins filming in June, so we should hear something soon. Stay tuned to the Divine Connection for more details. WWE had a business meeting in Miami with major executives. It was described as an easygoing meeting where they were pushing social media. R-Truth and Brodus Clay were brought in to dance. Really? At the meeting, Vince McMahon was talking about how they had rapper Flo Rida performing at WrestleMania 28. It sounds like Vince was high on Flo Rida, which could explain his backstage segment with Heath Slater on the pay-per-view. Word is, Brock Lesnar's one-year deal with WWE is worth $5 fucking million. Word of Lesnar getting a $5 million offer for multiple appearances with WWE was floating around UFC and MMA circles in late 2011 before his last fight against Alistair Overeem. That is ridiculous money for just 1 year. Ridiculous. Not ridiculous bad, ridiculous good. After signing Brock to a one-year deal, it's also believed that WWE signed The Rock to another one-year deal that will carry him through WrestleMania 29. With Lesnar and The Rock headlining next year in the history of the New York market, it's possible that WrestleMania 29 will be an immediate sellout, something that WWE hasn't done since 2007. Regarding Lesnar's deal, it is said that Vince McMahon was agreeable on the money side, but the number of dates that Lesnar would be working was an issue. Both sides ended up giving a little, and Lesnar will be appearing from between 30 and 40 dates leading up to WrestleMania 29. That's it for only $5 fucking million? Are you kidding me? Well, Brock raped Vince real good, because $5 million just to show up 40 times. Good deal, Brock. Good fucking deal. WWE is looking at doing a new one-hour Spanish-language TV show. No other details are available as of yet. Look for Wade Barrett to return to action in August after having shoulder surgery. WWE is planning on pushing Barrett and maybe holding the Money in the Bank ladder match at SummerSlam so Barrett can win it and hold the briefcase for a title shot. Billy Gunn stated on Twitter that he was backstage at Tuesday's SmackDown in Orlando, Florida. That's the SmackDown he saw Friday. He thanked Big Show for inviting him. Speaking to an internet radio show last month about his induction into the WWE Hall of Fame, legendary boxer Mike Tyson said he would be interested in wrestling for WWE. When asked if he still watches wrestling these days, he responded, "I don't watch it as much as I used to. But it's not the same as it was. They don't have the same guys. But Triple H is coming back, the WWE's coming back, and I like to do whatever I can to be a part of that, to help them in any way I can. I would like to be a wrestler." Please, Mike, no, don't do it. WWELiveTour.com has Brock Lesnar scheduled for Monday's Raw Super Show at the Verizon Center in Washington, D.C., and the April 23rd show at the Joe Louis Arena in Detroit, Michigan. He's also slated to appear at Extreme Rules on April 29th at the Allstate Arena in Chicago, Illinois. I find this funny. Through Dollar Star, Lisa Marie Verone, aka Tara, is charging $18 per minute to accept phone calls from people. A 1 hour chat, if you do the math, will cost you $1,080. Yeah, fucking right. The Miz hosted MTV's The Challenge Battle of the X's reunion show. And during the show, the official MTV Twitter account wrote that they would pay anything to see The Miz on the future challenge show. Miz replied with anything in all caps. Despite WrestleMania 28 being in The Rock's hometown of Miami, WWE officials had been going with the idea of John Cena winning for months. The real discussion began about The Rock winning reportedly began, about a month ago. Still, most people within WWE thought that Cena would win. TMZ reports that WWE has offered paid rehab to former star Maven Huffman, who was arrested earlier in the week on prescription drug charges. Evan Bourne, who sustained a midfoot fracture, dislocation, and an undisclosed accident, tweeted the following update. Followed up with the surgeon today, x-ray show every bone is back in its proper place. Recovery won't be fast, and I'll heal and fly again. Well, that is all the time we have on this installment of the Chronic Connection Wrestling Podcast. Once again, thank you for joining me for this episode. Just a few things. Join the group page if you haven't. It's not the one where you quote-unquote like it. It's the one where you ask to join the group. The links are on the Podomatic page, which you can find at, I don't know which one I'm going to post it on, because I have two Podomatic pages. Just when you see the link, click on the link and not the play button in the thumbnail, and the link will take you to the page where it's at. It'll give you the link to the group page, and it'll give you the link to our Twitter. You can also subscribe to us on iTunes. Just type Chronic Connection in the search bar in the podcast section. Subscribe, and you will be notified of every episode of the Chronic Connection that gets posted. Alright, have a happy Easter if you celebrate. That's pretty much it. Check y'all later. 100.
I know that soon.
Never thought in the beginning I would see us fall in the end. Paying me to paint pictures on the wall of my friends. 1990 sins, it was all for the ends. Ends for the rims, rims for the bins, bins full of skins. Before you talk about money, make a meal first. You and Dick Nick sick me, either kill me or get killed worse. Your song's in need of a real verse. Son of the man, God feel me like you feel church. And right after speech time, it's sparking the street crime. Niggas throwing anything at you, except a peace sign. Live by the gun, die by the gun. Till my time come, I'ma spend time with your son. How could you see them sad when they remind you of them? Them really did the same thing, looking fine to the slum. And those that don't adapt, they either blind, if a dumb spine of a squirrel, mind of a girl set to run. Why run, nigga? It's gon' come, nigga. But to the day it does, I'ma hold my shit down, take it in blood. Outsiders get no love.
Fishing in the swamp in the desert. Lizard sweater, half a billy of fives. Two max in a ride, they call him Coke Cuomo. Co-signed by kings and a rich homo. Made me 3 mil in a month. Pockets monk, Ferrari still by the project building. Real dot tech ill, they dumb out with Uzis and wheels. Yo, steak and take meetings, beefing. Too much dough to Legion. Bat in my hand, the sweet Easter. Losing money, fellas, we won't have that. Better grab that, or don't come back, or get clad at. Me and my vixens in the kitchen. One suckin' dick, I paid her ass shots and sent her to Brixton. Don's eating calamari, coke in the Larry's jaw. Never broke, hardly robbed. Eat with the godly guards, get guarded or get with the mob. From Shaolin to Queens, we wild with the beans.
Why run, nigga? It's gon' come, nigga. But to the day it does, I'ma hold my shit down, take it in blood. Outsiders get no love. Don't blame me, blame Southside. That's what made me mind crazy high. But I spot a traitor out my lazy eye. Lady spy, I'm who they wanna have their baby by. Maybe I'm better off alone. Keeps me in my zone. Night's room, white patron, GT in my chrome. Alien phone home, ET in my throne. High achieve what they wanted, eat some to their stomach. When you broke, time slow, but your weeks are numbered. And bad news keeps you weak and numb. Like when I lost my old man, damn it, threw up the whole weekend, son. I should've listened, friends turn foe. It's Toso, the fofo, and make a nigga run like Ocho. Sicko on my Minko, I'm a protege of pimpin'. Living for the slippin', nothing rolled away to Clinton. Marijuana shipping, champagne, lobster strippin'. Game train, not to listen, maintain, pop the clippin'. Why run, nigga? It's gon' come, nigga. But to the day it does, I'ma hold my shit down, take it in blood. Outsiders get no love.